Just bear in mind, the lines are always open. I just want to take us further afield to Russia and our emerging economies. Dr. Sara Pinar, the former director at South African Institute for International Affairs, joins me on the line today. Good morning, Doctor. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
Quite worried about the 2020 Olympics for Russia.
Well, we've got plenty of things to worry about, not at the least SAA, as you were
quite
saying.
Quite right.
But yes, you know, if you think back to the 2016 Olympics in Rio, there was no official Russian team there. Mm. And I'm afraid it looks as if it's going to be exactly the same story at Tokyo next year, and for the same reason. The fact is that the Russians simply do not provide reliable records, and in fact there is plenty of evidence to the effect that they don't, you know, they cheat and they cover things up to prove that their contestants, the people who are coming into the Olympics,
yes,
are completely free of performance enhancing drugs. And there's been a big investigation over the last few months. There's an organization called the World Anti-Doping Agency, and it went to Moscow, and after a lot of fuss, they were told, yes, they could have the records of the Russian Anti-Doping Agency. Mm. And when they found these records, they found they were completely useless. They'd clearly been messed around with, erasions and alterations have been made. And they realized, as one of them said, everything that has anything to do with that Moscow laboratory cannot be trusted.
Sure.
So it looks very much as though the WADA, which is independent of the Olympic Committee, although very much connected to it, will recommend next Monday when it meets in Paris that once again Russian athletes will be excluded from the Olympic Games. The interesting thing perhaps to watch is that the president of the International Olympic Committee disagrees, and he's got a point, and the point is that innocent athletes, those who really have kept themselves clean but won't be able to prove it because the Russian records are so messed up, will also be excluded, and that's very hard. But it seems to me that Rada has got a point, and you know, the Russian team as a whole, and they're big of course, you know, all the sports that are involved, will not be there again.
I mean, fair enough for the innocents, but I mean, it's just not fair for every other country to take that
absolutely
risk.
Absolutely not fair. I mean, you've competed against someone who's pumped full of steroids. How are you going to do? So it's sad, but it's probably the only way to go.
Okay.
And last time they allowed a few athletes known to be clean, Russian athletes, to compete individually. But I don't think even that's going to happen nowadays.
Yeah.
Russian comment, I might say, from the Moscow press is very bitter. Admittedly,
I'm sure.
This is the anti-Putin press. They say that Putin could get away with all sorts of things on the international political scene, but it just shows that in sports you can't get away with it, and there's nothing he can do about that. He, I might say, will dismiss this as yet another Western plot.
I was about to say, it seems like a pro-Putin position, actually. He can get people behind him for, West is against
us.
Well,
he will do. I mean, in 2016, he said it was an American-led conspiracy.
There we go.
There we are. So that's a very sad story, and it doesn't look as if it's going to change, but Monday will be the day to watch.
All right. On to another superpower, the Russia-China-Arctic pipeline has opened. Tell us a bit about that.
Well, that is extremely interesting. The deal was signed 5 years ago in 2014, and it was one of the biggest deals ever known, about $400 billion worth of deal, and it's likely to apparently have cost even more, to build a pipeline bringing natural gas from the Siberian gas fields, which are huge and virtually inexhaustible, through to energy-hungry northeast China, which is very industrial, has been relying heavily on coal, and is very polluted. The pipeline opened the other day with a great fanfare. It won't be fully operational for another few years. When it's completely finished, there's a link to open now, and that, I might tell you, is 3,000 kilometres long. You know, the distances are huge. It will actually be something like 8,000 kilometres long in all. In other words, that is the distance from somewhere in China back to the natural gas field somewhere in the middle of Siberia. It's very important for the Chinese because they do need to reduce their dependence on coal, but it's even more important to the Russians because the Chinese can, buy it. First of all, they make money out of selling the gas.
Yeah.
Secondly, they're building stronger links with China rather than Europe, which is not in favor at the moment.
Right.
And they need investment badly, and they need loans badly. And both investment and loans are not coming from the West these days, partly because of sanctions. So the Chinese are the obvious alternative. And it more sort of broadly, people, the geostrategists are worried because the Chinese are beginning to say we too are an Arctic state. Mm. And like the Russians, we want to have a say in what goes on in and around the Arctic. Now, all around the Arctic Circle are massive resources of all kinds. And most, Western thinkers say that the Chinese have no business to have an interest there at all. But that's a geopolitical thing. There's a sort of scramble for the Arctic going on, rather like the scramble for Africa back in the 19th century.
And only certain countries will be sort of positioned to take full advantage of that, right? So Africa, from climate to everything else, it's pretty simple. But the Arctic is a very challenging space.
It is
topographically
indeed. It's very challenging, and of course, if you look at the map, you'll see it's the Americans, it's the Canadians, it's the Danes, because of Denmark, having Greenland, and then it's the Norwegians and the Russians. Those are the actual states which have Arctic territory. So it's really between them. Now, the Chinese seem to be muscling in too, which the West, of course, doesn't like at all, but I suspect that the Russians will be only too happy.
Fascinating stuff. Dr. Pienaar, we'll leave it there. Former director at the SA Institute of International Affairs, Dr. Sarah Pienaar, always gives us fantastic, fascinating insights on Russia. Let